Podcast. I'm Maui Jones.
Nick Dobrella.
Liz Rosa.
Tim Jameson.
And today...
Me!
And today we are going to talk about the biggest event in Marvel Comics going on right now, Avengers vs. X-Men. Nick, you want to give us a brief description of what Avengers vs. X-Men is?
Basically the Phoenix Force is headed towards Earth, and the Avengers think it's coming to destroy the Earth, and the X-Men think it's coming to save the mutant race. And kind of stuck in the middle of this is Hope, which is the first mutant born since M-Day, where the Scarlet Witch had deactivated the X-Gene, and there ceased to be many, many, many mutants. We're down to a number of about 300, and this is kind of the final stage of this eight-year story that spanned through two separate titles and two different monstrous runs of stories between these two titles.
Such as?
Messiah Complex, Messiah War, Second Coming, all of the X-Men crossovers that focused on Hope in all ways, really. When she was born was Messiah Complex, and then Messiah War was a separate story that took us to the future where X-Force had to go and try to save... They were looking for Cable, basically. They were looking for Cable, they were looking for Hope. They're trying to help her, bring her back home so they can take care of her. And that finally happens in Second Coming. And it's about her coming back and everybody trying to get the new girl in town. So,
well, you could also say that, I mean, this is something that's been building since House of M.
It has. Absolutely. It's been 8 years.
And Hex, since it's a continuation of the original Phoenix saga as well,
Well, it's really not at all. I'm sorry, they shit on the Phoenix.
You think they shit on the Phoenix?
They totally did. It's nothing like... They're like, oh, everybody loses control. The only reason that Jean lost control is because the White Queen and Mastermind fucked with her shit, and she went nuts. They were screwing with her. They took the opportunity, and they really socked it to her, so she killed herself to save everybody. It doesn't sound like somebody who went nuts. Like, I know she had her moment, but, her daughter, Rachel Summers, she had the Phoenix for years and years with no incident whatsoever. She faced Galactus. She did a whole lot of stuff with the Phoenix Force. They're making it out to be this horrible thing to make the Avengers look good, and it's kind of pissing me off.
I don't think they're just trying to make the Avengers look good. I mean... I guess it because of what's happened with the X-Men throughout this miniseries. I kind of see what you're saying, but I don't know. It's like you're getting the power of a god.
Yeah, sure.
That can definitely warp somebody's mind.
Absolutely, but they're making it seem that's it. That's the only thing. That's all that it's about. And they kind of left Jean out of the whole thing, which is all right. There's this Infinite issue, which is a digital only copy, came out right around 6. It Yeah, it did. It came out with issue 6. So, and that's a story about where Cyclops travels to the moon and he creates a avatar out of moon dust and mm-hmm. it's Jean, okay? With Jean. And he has a conversation with her. And
that was a really cool.
It was an awesome. Issue. It was just awesome. It was really cool. And by the end of it, he's like, "Okay, I see where I went wrong. I started to lose who I was." And he hasn't. Even in the story, like, they're making him, it's like the Avengers are like, "Ooh, he's psycho," and everybody's like, I'm like, looking, like, what, he's not really doing anything wrong. Like, the others are totally, they're losing their shit. They're going crazy, they're going mad with power, and...
Well, he's the most disciplined, but, I mean, there's definitely a big change in his character, I think.
Sure.
The Phoenix, I mean, all right, Tim, Liz, you guys have read... everything thus far in AVX, right?
The new stuff. I don't know about Tim, but I'm not familiar with everything that happened prior. So I know what happened with the Scarlet Witch and stuff like that, but right. I had not actually.
But you basically know
that
Cyclops's MO and whatnot. What's your opinion on Cyclops with the Phoenix Force?
Well, it seems to me that from what I'm seeing is that the way that they're portraying it is that the Phoenix Force is one of two things. It's either this great power and responsibility that's destined to go to this person that's worthy of it, and then that person is going to be a saving grace, or it's this all-encompassing, like, big, bad superpower that takes somebody over and then destroys everything. So, you know...
That's basically what they're saying, sure.
It seems to me that if what you're saying is true, that Jean was able to kind of harness the power until they fucked with her shit, using your words.
That's exactly what happened.
Then it seems to me that I think that maybe they may be leading up to this whole idea that it is kind of a saving grace, and for right now, they're making the Avengers look good.
Right, they are.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I totally know what's going to happen.
Kind of finalize.
No, you're right. I don't know if they're going to be like, oh, the X-Men won, even though this happened, and the Avengers are kind of taking the lead now because they realize that they really weren't there for the X-Men with help and everything like that.
Right.
But I think that this is going to end with Emma biting the dust because she is the reason that Jean Grey went nuts to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's in the spot and it's going to come full circle. That's exactly where it's heading to. Cyclops is going to lose another love and...
Or...
Well, see, that's the thing too, is when I was reading it, when I finished, I actually thought, like, okay, there's two left of the Phoenix Five. Cyclops, Emma Frost. It's like, okay, everyone's like pointing towards Emma Frost, like, oh, she's gone. She's going to be the last one with the power and... That's it. She's done. But then it's like, okay, what if they fucking switch it around? Just for this series, you know, just for whatever reason, and they put it on Cyclops. Like, maybe it just drives him fucking mad, and he, like, it just overtakes him so much that he can't handle it.
And, they're not killing Cyclops, though.
No.
No way. No. And I read mention of him for the first time, like I actually mentioned in news.
Yeah. No one listens to you.
So no, it's probably
true. I remember when you said it, though.
It's probably true. Oh, well, thanks for trying to kiss up to me, Brown Nose.
We're not trying to kiss up to you. Okay, so here's my thing. Like, Cyclops, to me, is definitely a little further gone. You know, I know you're saying that he doesn't seem to be much different, but I think there's a pretty big difference in his personality post-Phoenix Force.
Can I ask you a question, though? Have you read anything between House of M and this story?
Here and there, you know, I dabble in
Marvel. Like, it was
he's had some ups and downs, you know.
Right, I mean, it's not like it's...
He's been in a darker place since he merged with Apocalypse. You know, like, ever since then, he's been on a darker path, like a darker...
That's Cyclops. True, but, and Grant Morrison's, at the end of Here Comes Tomorrow, basically, that was all done with. That was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no, like, Jean pushed them forward. She pushed Cyclops and Emma Frost together.
Right.
And, that whole thing, I don't think has played into it since Grant Morrison's run. This is an entirely new... things, starting with the extinction of his species, and he is fighting for the very life of his entire species.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, but he's definitely had a darker edge since then. Since what was the name of that story? Was it Age of Apocalypse?
No, that was the 12.
Was it the 12?
Yeah, that's where he merged with them.
It was the Search for Cyclops. That's what it was. Since that storyline, I've always noticed that he's been a lot darker in tone. He was always the Boy Scout. And they still, like, make fun of him being a Boy Scout, but he hasn't been a Boy Scout since that storyline to me. He's always been darker since then. The only time where he felt a little bit better than that was Joss Whedon's Astonishing. And I felt like, okay, he's kind of giving him that kind of characterization mm-hmm. that I'm used to with Cyclops. You know, even though he even realized himself that he's a little darker than he used to be.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because, you know, that's, I guess, maybe how he dealt with Jean's death. You know, it definitely changed him a bit. But yeah, to me, with the Phoenix Force, though, it's kind of amplifying that darkness that's been in him since then. That, you know, and that's why I love that issue with him and, you know, Moon Dust Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Because he finally, it kind of felt like he was trying to work through that. You know, I have all this power, now I can, you know, resurrect her in a way and, you know, have the conversation that I was never able to have.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he's that far gone, but I definitely think that it's changed him a lot. But I think he recognized that. And that's why he needed to talk to Jean. He needed that perspective. That's why, you know. Have you guys read that one, by any chance?
No, because it's digital only. I have it right here, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool.
At the beginning of the series, you kind of... Like, Cyclops is just normal Cyclops. It's like... Yeah, like, he can come off as, like, a dick, but, I mean, he's like, fucking, like, fighting for the mutants, you know? And once he gets the Phoenix Force, it's like Cyclops, but it's, like, totally different. He's, like, fucking stern. He's, like,
mm-hmm.
walking with his chest up. He's, like, don't, like, you know, like, the one where he's, like, oh, I forget, but, yeah. He just, like... It just, he doesn't seem like Cyclops. He seems different. Like, more of a villainous type.
You don't think that he's kind of straying more, like, further and further away from the
I'm not, wait, hold mankind. On. Yeah, let me clarify this. I don't feel that he's not different as a character. Like, I'm saying he's still a Boy Scout. I'm saying from all of the stuff that's happened in the last 8 years and the character he's been pre what Maui was mentioning with the Apocalypse Merge, whether that did or not, that starting from that point, his character went on this big journey and did a lot of changing.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that his character, just prior to becoming Phoenix and then becoming Phoenix, is very different.
Well, I think the difference is that he's losing his humanity.
Yeah.
The more powerful he gets.
I think he was losing his humanity.
Until that issue.
Right.
With him and Moondust Jean Grey.
And with that, I think it's getting worse because, you know, Colossus.
Right, everybody's power. Right. Power,
and then the two.
Well, Namor and then Colossus and Magic did.
They lose their power, and then Emma Frost and Cyclops get it, and it just fucking intensifies. They get worse. So, as he's been going along, like, where he's been, like, this fucking dominant leader figure, like a villainous type, like, from what I've read, the way my perspective of what I see is, like, yeah, it's, like, increasingly, like, taking over. Like, what he used to be. And I think, like, with that... with all the shit that's happened before, like, with him losing Jean and stuff like that, I think it's kind of affecting him in a way where he's, like, fucking angry at the world.
Yeah.
Like, the Avengers are trying to take shit away from him, so he's like, you know what? Fuck you. It's like how Namor was, like, when he fucking screamed the war. And he
right.
was, like,
well,
so
Namor,
pissed.
Right, Namor
that
lost
power,
his shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's like going to them two. Sooner or later, one of them's going to lose their shit.
There was another tie-in, though, a new Avengers issue that focused on the Illuminati, which is this group of powerful. It's like Mr. Fantastic, Captain America, Iron Man, Namor, Doctor Strange, Professor Xavier, and it was Black Bolt when Black Bolt was on Earth, and all of these people got together to try to prevent things like this from happening, and things from, like, the Phoenix Saga, and things from the Kree Scroll, everything. They try to prevent it, and ultimately fuck it up every single time. But anyway, they're trying. So, there was this issue, and he was already a Phoenix, and they were waiting, like, they called, and everybody's like, no, he's not gonna come, and Captain America's like, he's gonna come. He will be here. Did you read this issue?
No.
It was so fucking awesome. You should totally check it out. So he's like, he's gonna come, and everybody winds up leaving. Everybody one at a time start leaving, and Captain America's sitting there, and then here comes Namor, and he's like, they had this like nice exchange, whatever. And then he, of course, went and destroyed Wakanda, but, you know. Dude's nuts. But he's nuts to begin with.
When he screamed war, I thought it was like the fucking dopest scene ever. Or screen, or you know, picture, whatever. But when he went to war, Namor, like, started fucking up everybody. And I guess they all used their power to, like, fucking beat him down. Thor, like, came down with a hammer and, like, fucking knocked him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Hulk went to grab him, and all he's like, you don't fucking... He didn't say that, but he's like, you don't touch me. And just with the flick of his, like, two fingers, like, broke the dude's arm. I was like, holy shit. Like, that, you kind of understand, like, what the power is behind that. And getting back to Cyclops, it's like, Xavier knows, like, what's going to happen. He, like, can see it just as... Scarlet Witch was like, holy fuck, if they go out there and fight, it's just going to be one, they're just, the Phoenix is just going to run right through them, and it's all going to be bones in space, you know?
Right. To me, like, it feels like, especially in the past, like, year or two of X-Men stuff, it feels like Cyclops is becoming Magneto.
Yeah,
I don't see that, though.
I don't see that?
No, because he's not about being superior to...
Okay, well,
to humans, he's about saving the mutants.
Right, but he's getting more and more paranoid about humans.
And I feel like throughout the course of the issues, I'm seeing kind of like a rapport between him and Magneto that seems to be kind of increasing into this relationship that mirrors each other.
Right,
and I don't think it mirrors. Like,
I'm thinking mirrors, yes, but I don't think that it's to the same extent. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go. I can see where Molly's coming from on that.
Yeah, he's isolationist.
Yes.
You know, let's gather up all the mutants, live on our own. You know, I'm giving up on Charles Xavier's vision of mutant-human relations.
Right.
He's going more a Magneto direction.
There's no more talk of humans at all in his plan.
But there's only 200 mutants left.
It's all about
there's only 200 left.
And people are trying to... extinguish them entirely. Like, if you read X-Force, Kyle Craig and Chris Yost's X-Force, it runs like 28 issues, and it's about Wolverine leading a squad of a kill squad, basically. Mm-hmm. And he goes after all of these people that are actively trying to kill the X-Men, and he kills them all, basically.
Nice.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, getting back to the whole, like, Cyclops Magneto thing, you could actually see that, like, in the beginning with the Phoenix Force, you could tell, like, they're like, yeah, they say what they're gonna do, they're trying to make the world a better place, and then after a while it's like, you know what, fuck these guys, you know, we're just gonna do what we want to do, and they start destroying cities, trying to, like, get rid of the X-Men. They fucking tie up Thor and drop him into, like, a purgatory type volcano with, like, fucking monsters or whatever. But with the tie-in with Cyclops and Magneto, you could kind of get that when Xavier is there trying to talk to him, like, Scott, you know, it's me, come on, hey, you know, we've been through a lot. You know?
I kind of see it.
You need to calm down, buddy, you know, it's...
I saw that superiority early on, though, like, when he says, you know, that there's a line in there, and I don't remember it exactly, but... something along the lines of, we're extinct and, you know, this should be, like, super important because we're the future of the human race and we're the evolutionary, like, path of the human race and all that stuff. It just has a tone of superiority.
They
and
literally are the future of the human race.
Right,
though.
But he has a tone of superiority when he says it. It's not factual, it's more like...
Perhaps.
We're the head of the food chain, and people need to realize that, and we need to save that. And
come
out
on
that.
The beach when he's arguing with Cap.
Yeah, I think that plays more into the fact that they never had outside help from anybody. Nobody ever came to give them a hand. Like, they dealt with everything on their own when everybody kept trying to kill them and exterminate mutants entirely. They handled it by themselves. Nobody was there.
Like,
and that was his. That's what he mentioned in that same in that same speech that you were talking about. He said that to him.
Right, but there's also something to be said about the fact that, like, the Avengers and the X-Men are kind of supposed to fight for those who can't fight for themselves.
It's true, and the problem is there's only 200 mutants left from millions and millions and millions of mutants. But like 20 million mutants.
They still have the opportunity to fight for themselves, obviously, if they're getting into this huge monster war with the Avengers. I mean, it's different. Scott seems to have a complete and total disregard for the human race at this point. Like, you have to kind of, the Avengers as that hero entity kind of have to weigh the options.
Like, yeah, I don't think it's a disregard, though. I think his faith in the Phoenix Force is faith. It's not
okay, but
like,
even before that, what about the schism between him and Wolverine?
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine is going the Professor X route, which is to me like kind of funny because you would expect the roles to be
it to be different, yeah.
But you know, Cyclops is like, no, we're going to go off on our own, be on our own. Wolverine hasn't given up on that dream. He's you know, teaching them in a safe environment, you know, trying to teach them, you know, he's not building an army.
Sure, because you know? Wolverine just went and followed Cyclops' orders and killed all of their enemies that really were going to wipe them out.
Right, but then I think it's a big deal when Wolverine's like, hold on, maybe we're going too far.
Yeah, I think Marvel's just trying to make Wolverine a bigger deal than he
was. I don't think they're trying to make him a bigger deal. I mean, and you can't really look at it like that. I mean, you just have to look at it from just the story perspective, mm-hmm. where those characters are at. I mean, there has to be something to be said when you have Wolverine who's trying to continue this dream and then Cyclops who's given up on this dream. You know, I think that's a very big deal. That says a lot about Cyclops' character.
Especially when you have Wolverine kind of saying, like, well, if I'm saying something's wrong, then there's something wrong.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, it gets back to where, like, they're, like, once they get the Force, they're like, oh, now it's our time to do good, and now we will be accepted. Whereas, gradually, that starts to fade, and they start growing faith in the Phoenix Force toward, like, we're the fucking dominant species over everybody, so nobody can fuck with us. So it's like, instead of us getting their acceptance,
yeah, nobody can fuck with them because of the Phoenix specifically.
Because, right. You know, and everyone should be trying to get our acceptance because we're the superior whatever.
What is the goal of Scott's agenda, though? Because if you look at it, right, some mutants died, but when they got rid of the mutant gene, then mm-hmm. most of the mutants just kind of went human. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. Unless they were in an extreme situation and died because
like
of the loss of their...
Like if they were flying and they fell and whatever. Right. But it didn't, like, for the most part, the whole taking away of the mutant gene wasn't meant as a kind of, okay, all mutants die. Like, they stayed human. So what's the ultimate goal of, like, wanting more and more mutants to kind of build this army of superiority?
Well, that wasn't... No more mutants wasn't the goal. It wasn't specifically for mutants. It was meant from Scarlet Witch to her father, Magneto.
Right.
So that he had nothing else to continue. Like, he was done with... She was done with it all, and she basically wished away mutants.
Right.
For the most part.
But, I mean, do you not look at that from what I understand the X-Men, like an X-Men perspective to be, do you not look at that and say, okay, well, that's just kind of the course of action that happened, this is how things played out, whatever, whatever, or do you, like, take this opportunity that Scott is in trying to rebuild up that mutant, like, why is he so adamant about rebuilding up a mutant race? Like, is he wanting to build an army? Is
no,
that, like,
he
his
wants,
ultimate goal?
No, that's not his goal at all. He wants to reignite the mutant race so that mutants start being born again.
But he does talk about defending themselves against humans and whatnot. Right. He doesn't, you know, it seems... I'm not saying that his intentions are bad, but his perspective on why the human race, or the mutant race, needs to get rebuilt seems a bit skewed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think his reason to build the mutant race is to protect themselves.
Yeah.
I think they have to protect themselves because there's so few of them. And rebuilding the race is like putting out an extinction alert on a blue-headed hawk or whatever the hell you know. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. There's like less than 200 of them left on the whole planet from 20 million.
At this point, no new mutants can be born at all.
There have only been... Hope was the first.
Right.
And that was at the beginning of this whole storyline thing.
Well, not to, like, mix things, but, you know, just throwing in the whole life will find a way kind of thing.
Right. Well, like, here's the deal, though.
Why not let the natural order of things progress and have mutants...
Because the natural order has been changed.
The natural order was changed by the Scarlet Witch. She wished away mutants. That's not natural at all.
Right.
She put a big whammy on them.
But that's a good point, though. Okay. It seems like he has a lot of animosity against humans, you know, now. But the mutant race being near extinction was because of a mutant. You know, it's not like the human race did this
right.
to him.
Right.
But he does seem to have a lot of...
Because all of the...
Disregard.
Yeah.
All of the people that were featured in X-Force as the villains were all humans. They were not super-powered individuals. They were all human mobs and...
That's something they've always dealt with, though. That's not something that's, you know...
It's different.
Because there's so few of them.
Right, and there's tech, and there's... It's not like they're not cheating, so to speak. Like, mm-hmm. they're not... They're still enhancing themselves by using weapons.
Right.
You know, I mean, they don't have superpowers, but... Iron Man doesn't have superpowers. He has super tech.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, but there still seems to be an animosity towards humans. Like, you know, like I said, like, that's... They've always been persecuted. It just seems to me that his viewpoint on humanity has changed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that when... Before this fight even starts, when he's talking to the captain on the beach... And the captain says that you're too close to this is absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
I think that he's too close to what's going on. And I think that as the Avengers, like I was saying, they kind of have to weigh the options, and he's not weighing them at all. And
that's not true, though.
Maybe
that's not true.
He's just, but there is the option. It's not like, okay, there's like a 1% chance that this could happen. There's a very, like, there's a huge chance that she could destroy the world.
And every step that the Avengers took to try to prevent that has made things worse.
Only because Cyclops wouldn't work with them.
No. I think it's the opposite.
How so?
I think it's the opposite. Because they wanted to just take Hope. The Phoenix is a very powerful entity. It's going to find her no matter where she's at. If it's coming for her, it's going to find her. And then he built this Phoenix gun thing, whatever, and shot it. And it divided into five people, five pieces went into five different people that was never supposed to happen. Wasn't supposed to happen at all. Here's the deal. The Avengers don't know anything about the Phoenix Force. They've never dealt with it before. The X-Men have dealt with it on numerous occasions. Marvel Girl, Rachel Summers, has lived with it for years. She was a valuable resource that they didn't even touch on, hardly at all, through this whole story.
Well, there's a back and forth with that, though, as well. Like, there's also that kind of side of, well, the X-Men kind of know that maybe the Avengers are over their head. So instead of having this dialogue and trying to work together and have some sort of explanation, that's what I think the Captain was trying to accomplish.
No, not at all. He came to take Hope.
Right, well, like,
and that's
let's
it.
Say...
Let's say I came to take you.
Okay,
and
let's
say...
That's it.
I just came to take you.
But let's say...
You're a danger to this Earth.
You will never... But we will never know what the alternate reaction would have been. Like, if Scott was like, okay, but we're coming with...
If I came to take you...
Right.
He's not gonna let me take you.
Okay, but you're saying that he didn't know anything about the Phoenix. He did consult... I'm just looking at the issue now... He consulted Wolverine before.
You're right. And based upon what happened there and what he said, it's like they're retconning everything that happened prior. That's the problem here. Like, they're skewing the story.
How are they skewing the story?
Because that's not what happened. What Wolverine said happened didn't happen like that. There was not one mention of Emma Frost and Mastermind screwing with Jean and making her think that she was living in the 1800s and was in love with Jason Weingard. There was none of that mentioned. There were reasons that she lost it, and they were specifically related to that instance. And Rachel had it for years and years, never had an issue with the control of it. Ever. Like, it's not... They're making it seem worse off than it is, which is why, like, when I'm arguing with you guys, it's like, well, you don't really, you friendly don't know debate. This, you don't friendly know this. Debate. Right, absolutely, right. Well, sure.
Okay, I've read the original Phoenix Saga, and I've read the Dark Phoenix Saga, mm-hmm. and yeah, the, you know, there were some outside influences, obviously, but she was weak to, you know, like, her emotions were, like, out of control through the Dark Phoenix Saga, you know, and yes,
right,
there was,
because they were fucked,
and
she
yes,
was
there
fucked
was
with.
There was outside stimuli as well. But that being said, with that much power, if like even if he didn't mention, you know, the Hellfire Club stuff, right? There, with that much power, having somebody who can, you know, go crazy like that, like there still needs to be a check and a balance. You can't just be like, all right, that's like a, yeah.
What about Rachel
know.
Summers?
Well, I guess that was a... I don't know too much about Rachel having the Phoenix, though.
She had... She was the Phoenix. She came back as the Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't know much about
Rachel. She had the Phoenix up until, like, a year ago.
Yeah, I'm saying, I don't know much about Rachel Summers with the Phoenix.
She never had an incident, ever.
Was she ever fucked with, like, Jean was?
No.
Right. So, right. But if there is that... If there's still that opportunity, like, that exists within someone who houses the Phoenix, that... They have to be in complete and constant control all the time, every time, all the time, then that's flawed. You know, because there's no
I'm not
way.
Saying it's not flawed, but...
And that's the same, it's kind of the same thing with Hope now, where it's coming for her, and she's got all this fucking fighting going on around her, and she's like, stop, 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 and then fucking...
Right. Phew. So
and
you
shit just, like, fucking takes over. And afterwards, she's like, please, you know, kill me. You gotta, you know, I can't fucking handle this shit.
Right, because she was scared.
Yeah, and that's, like, the thing is, like, there's distractions to where she can't fucking hit it on, head on full force, where she's got other shit going on, so she's thinking about that. You know, people fighting, and, you know, where the fuck is Spider-Man, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, she's got that distracting her, so the Phoenix just comes in, takes over, and it's like, she can't fucking defend herself.
So that regardless of what would have happened if Jean had gotten fucked with or not, is that an inevitability that eventually she would have lost control because the Phoenix cannot be controlled?
No, because Rachel Summers had it for years and never had an incident.
Well, Jean Grey had it for years as well, didn't she?
She had it in time frame. Yes, it was years right. our time, but like right. not years...
It was over the course of like two, there was two major storylines: the Phoenix Saga, which
some
was like
fluff
a space
issues.
Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It started at issue 99 and it went through issue 137. Yeah.
So perhaps Rachel just was not presented with the opportunity to lose that control. Maybe there was just
that
not.
Doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't make any sense, especially because she fought Galactus and she's had multiple experiences. Where anybody could have lost control. It's about being able to control it and doing it, and she did for years. You can't say, well, what it... Well, there was no reason. It doesn't matter. There wasn't a reason. There was a reason. It didn't happen. So even if there was something in there that would be considered a reason to be, she would have either, in this particular instance of all these years, it didn't happen. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean there's... wasn't something severe enough to make
right.
it happen.
But all I'm saying is that it's an unpredictable entity, and that's what the Avengers are working with at this point, is that it's an unpredictable entity, and they have to look at it from, like, the humankind perspective, and so they're like, it's unpredictable. So maybe she gets the Phoenix, and everything is all, like, you know, whipped cream and cherries, or maybe... the world explodes, you know what I mean? Like, they have to weigh that option. And I don't think that Scott is prepared to weigh that option, or he has weighed that option.
I think he has, and I think he was prepared to make the move had it had to be made.
He was
but he was not presented with the opportunity because he became the Phoenix at the
right.
at that opportunity.
But he was prepared
to
make the tough decision for mutants, not in terms of humans. If he was like, well... You know,
no, like, I think he was prepared and saying, if this Phoenix comes and that's it, I'll stop this Phoenix. And I feel that he believes that he could stop that Phoenix because he's done it before in certain ways.
All right, so I'm looking at Rachel Summers' Wikipedia page right mm-hmm. now.
Okay.
So it says she was bonded to the Phoenix Force, but she lost the connection to that.
Right, recently, because Jean was pulling all the pieces back to the White Hot Robe.
Well, it says... Most recently, Marvel Girl absorbed a residual echo of the Phoenix Force left in the sword of a previous host. a Shi'ar named Rukshir. It was revealed that this energy source was less powerful but easier to wield.
That's the now, though. That's now. That's not the full time she had it before.
Okay. So...
That is
before
true for
she
now,
had
yes.
it and just, you know...
She had the... It was the Phoenix Force. It wasn't an echo of it. This Rukshir guy, he only came into play, like, within the last 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Rachel's been around since, like, 1980.
Right.
Or 83 or something like that. So, yes, that is true in this particular instance. Mm-hmm. It was just a shard. But when she was actually the Phoenix, it was a different story.
Okay. And do you know what storyline she got the Phoenix Force?
I remember from all the way when she first appeared back in... God, what issue did she come around in? The 160s, maybe? Days of the Future Past is her first appearance, actually. So, 141 is when she made her first appearance.
Uncanny X-Men 141.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep looking at this. Okay, here's another question for you. Let's get off of just Cyclops.
Yeah.
Which side do you think started the fight? Who started?
I think Cyclops threw the first punch, but I think it was Captain America's intent to take Hope regardless of what happened. So,
he
was looking for
the Avengers?
Yes, I'm putting the blame on the Avengers, even though Cyclops threw the first punch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Liz?
Well, I present it in this way. What if Cyclops had let cooler heads prevail and let the Avengers take Hope in good faith and then go with them, though?
The thing... Okay, sure. But he knows that the Phoenix is going to find Hope regardless.
Right.
There's no chance of them... And so, like, it's a hostility for them to come and say, I'm taking one of the 200 people you have left on this planet.
Right.
Who is under your protection.
But with the...
On your Sovereign Island.
On your Sovereign... With the exception of Wolverine, who was, like, ready to kill her.
Right.
They didn't... Because Captain threw him off the plane.
Yes, totally.
And he was like, we're not trying to kill her.
Right, no. And they were trying to kill her.
Find a resolution that's beneficial for all parties, including the mutants.
No, it wasn't, though. It wasn't including the mutants. He didn't want to exclude them, so he was going to ask nicely to take Hope, but he was going to take Hope whether they said yes or no.
But, I mean, and what if... Well, the whole idea is to try to educate the Avengers on what the lack of knowledge that they have on the Phoenix Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not, at that point, kind of work your way in peacefully?
Why not say, why not have Captain America present that instead of saying, I'm taking the girl, whether you like it or not?
Well, that wasn't until it grew more hostile, though.
Yeah, it grew where, like...
It grew, like really hostile before he's like, you're under the impression that I was asking your permission. Like, it started off peacefully, from my interpretation, mm-hmm. and then, like, testosterone built. And then there was, like, this exchange of heated words until it was, like, more ego controlling the exchange than actual, like, cooler heads prevailing. So in that instance, they kind of let it... Both parties let it boil out of control, but I think that somebody in this instance has to kind of step back and be like, okay, let's work this out.
Right, so it pretty much puts it, even at that, at a 50-50, because...
I would have to disagree. I think it's more Cyclops, or, you know, the X-Men side that started it.
All the X-Men were on the beach, and Captain America just appeared by himself. He didn't have his crew with him, mm-hmm. so it's like, you know what? If he would have went there by himself, X-Men would have totally
Knew.
His ass.
No, they're not stupid. You have to assume that they know that they're there.
I'm going to try to play devil's advocate in this whole situation because I'm going to try to remain neutral because. I think that my lack of previous history in this universe is kind of, you know.
Go for it.
So, what I'm saying is, though, he had them in the back pocket, though.
Oh, yeah.
He was, like,
no
prepared.
Doubt.
Secretively.
And, yeah, they came, and he was like, oh, by the way, here's my posse, we're scooping her up.
And,
like,
and they made the point to mention, if you were coming, why didn't you call and just say, hey, can we have a conversation? It shows hostility just showing up there without informing them that they were on their way, that they were coming at all, and they're now you're like, dude, you just fucking came to my house, and now you're telling me you want to take my girlfriend away? Like, you didn't let me know that you were going to come. You didn't say, hey, can we maybe figure this out? You show up with your cloaked helicarrier
and piss on my boots.
That's right. With all due respect, get the hell off my island. It's the best line in the entire fucking series so far. Well, and I like the Avengers, too, for the record. I have a huge record of Avengers collection. I love them, but...
I'm looking at the dialogue right here, and it seems that, like, Cyclops is pretty hostile throughout this entire exchange. I don't know, that's just me.
He showed up on his doorstep. You got to give
on
some
his isolationist doorstep. Yes,
it doesn't matter what it is. It's still his doorstep.
That respect, like at that point, Cyclops didn't even know about the like cloaked, like you know,
he knew.
Ship.
He didn't know, but he knew.
And you know, at this point, it was just when you look at it for what it is. When Captain America shows up, it's just. Him.
It's not though, and if you even look at when he first says, he's like,
super hostile.
He's like, Emma, you protect Hope no matter what happens, because he knew already that they were going to come and they were going to try to take her, regardless of what they said. He already knew before he even walked onto the beach and talked to Captain America at all.
I just like
okay. Said. Well, anyway. He says okay. So here's the thing. Here's the exchange. So. You be Cyclops, I'll be Cap.
Captain America is not black.
The first Captain America was absolutely black. Isaiah Bradley, sir. The real Captain America. I'm just making Avengers. Alright, so I'll be... Here, you come sit next to me.
Two voices, guys, make this real.
Alright.
So, Molly, make sure you sound like a douche, okay?
I'll see what I can do.
Whatever, all right.
I'll be Cap.
Say what's your chest.
And you gotta center yourself. Okay, you scene. All right, ready. All right, Cyclops.
Bitch.
We need to take Hope into protective custody.
Because?
Why is Cyclops like...
Look at the way he's standing in the comic. He's got his butt out.
This sounds like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. All right, let's come on.
The Phoenix Force is coming to Earth, and all of our experts feel it is headed towards her.
Your experts? You mean Wolverine?
Oh, wait, this is a chick.
This is actually a good representation of what Marvel is doing to Cyclops
Emma Frost. Wait, Emma Frost has a British accent, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Scott, he's not leaving without her.
Shut up, bitch!
That's not what he says. No.
Where is it?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen! She's a mutant. This is a mutant problem. We'll handle it.
Okay.
You're killing me, Smalls. Right. Sorry. Focus myself. This isn't a mutant versus human problem. If she is the Phoenix vessel, then we need to take care of this.
I switch pages.
One could argue that the Phoenix coming here is the right vessel is maybe mutant kind's last best hope.
What?
That was Captain. That
Sorry,
was
Captain. Someone stole your line.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What?
Whose line is it anyway?
It's your line. Force of rebirth.
It's a force of rebirth, Cap.
But...
Shut up, bitch! Maybe the rebirth of my people.
You're too close to it, Summers. Logan told me you'd have issues with me coming here, and I was hoping you and I could come to an understanding. Man to man. Leader to leader. I need you to trust me.
I'm too close to it. You're too far away from it, motherfucker. As you always have been. It occurs to me, seeing you standing here, where were you for us, bitch? For the mutants. Except now, when you need something.
Oh,
stingy motherfucker.
This is awful.
Respecting you. If you want to have this discussion, fine. But I'll have to wait for another day. There's a destructive force headed towards Earth, and we have to figure out a way to stop it.
Respectfully, get the hell off my island.
And then everybody was like, ooh.
Damn, Cyclops got on me.
Namor.
The gauntlet has been thrown. He's going to force Roger's hand.
You do understand I wasn't asking.
I understood that completely. Skrazoo!
Oh no! What do you guys think? Whose fault was it, Cyclops or Cap? Seems like he was pretty, like, he was like protective custody. Respecting you.
Yeah, but you're not looking at the fact that somebody would come to your house and try to take Kate, and you don't like it. You're thinking of
Kate's not the Phoenix.
What if she was?
Nothing like
if
missing Clinton, the point.
If Clinton came over to my house and was like, I need Kate to come with me. It's really important. I'd be like, all right, whatever.
It's life or death.
That's not what's happening. That's he's telling... No, it is not. He's telling him he's not going to... He's not leaving without her.
That's kind of what's happening.
No, he's demanding
it. We just got to borrow her for like a quick second so that we can protect the world.
I don't want Kate to get raped by a giant firebird. Clinton... Take her somewhere where she'll be safe. Thank you.
But you're not putting yourself in their perspective.
That's my perspective, man. If I was Cyclops. Black Cyclops.
But that's...
Black Cyclops.
Black.
Black Cyclops.
All right, what about some of the fights, some of the matchups? I like a lot of the matchups they've done, like for the AVX versus.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the matchups that we've had so far?
Well,
let's
see here.
Cyclops and Captain America.
Cyclops and Cap.
Gambit and Cap. Colossus and Spider-Man, which was pretty cool.
I did notice the Avengers get the upper hand in a lot of those fights. I did notice that.
You know, it's kind of weird because the Avengers kind of won out in the beginning. Like, they started off on top, and then the X-Men kind of came back. And you're expecting the Avengers to win, but I'm still betting that there's something in here that I'm not seeing, that they're going to still... The X-Men are going to pull out on top of this in terms of, at the very least, the restart of the mutant race. Like, more births being happening. You know, something like that. Like it actually succeeds in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what happens with Hope, because...
Hope is lost.
You know, well...
Yeah, I don't know. I think that... I definitely think that this will reignite the mutant race. I think that's one of their goals.
It has to happen.
Not necessarily, oh, now everybody who was a mutant is a mutant again, but at least them being able to have children.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be a mutant to have children.
Or, you know, mutant babies being able to be born.
You don't have
to be a mutant to have children.
Mutant children.
In order to get rid of the Phoenix, whether it be Cyclops or Emma Frost, which everyone's pointing towards Emma Frost, what if Scarlet Witch goes to battle the Phoenix, sacrificing herself?
She's not gonna. She's already announced in the title.
Oh.
The only one not announced yet is Emma Frost. It's possible, but I don't think so.
Like, if they kill off Scarlet Witch... fucking spell gets lifted.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, because it's a chaos magic spell. It's not just a normal,
everybody
like...
Everybody starts making babies on the beach right there.
You know, there's also these two other stories that are not coming into play at all within this story, and it was Phoenix Endsong and Phoenix Warsong, which happened within the time frame of No More Mutants and Now, and there was a lot of development of the Phoenix there as well. Like, Rachel lost her piece of the Phoenix because Jean went to the White Hot Room. She was alive at the end of it. And she left Earth to collect all of her pieces, all of the fragments of the Phoenix.
For those who don't know, what's the White Room?
The White Hot Room is basically where the Phoenix... It's like Phoenix Command Central. Like, all of the Phoenixes of the past, whoever was a Phoenix host, resides here.
Oh, okay.
You know, after their death. Like, yeah. It's all like... like what? It's like Alpha Trion. Like, what? The inside of the Matrix. Like, where everything, all of the knowledge of the past resides there. That's basically what this is. And so she went there to collect her pieces, her fragments, and we haven't heard from her since then. Well, aside from in, like, she's popped up in, like, panels, like, telling Cyclops or guiding him in certain issues. That was actually
Cyclops,
her too. So.
In the White Hot Room. Like that.
No,
something like that, yeah.
No champagne
yeah.
in the White Hot Room.
I think she's a little sexier.
You said Rachel never had any issues with the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
How come Wolverine had to stab Rachel in the chest? I'm looking at this right now, man.
Yeah, you're looking at it. Are you reading it, or are you just looking at
a picture? I'm not looking at
the
picture.
And is it
looking at a description of something that happened, and it says that... and it also says that she did have the Phoenix, but in a more limited fashion than the Dark Phoenix.
Oh.
So that's Wolverine, not full power?
Wolverine stabbed her in the chest. So this must have been like after a night out of going to eat burgers, they went back to her house. Found a bag of like brown cocaine in Wolverine's jacket, decided to snort it.
What is brown cocaine?
Heroin, come on, Pulp Fiction, what the fuck?
It says that soon after the grudge which she had begun with Selene boiled over when Rachel secretly invaded the Hellfire Club, she did this with the intention of taking vengeance on Selene for the murders she had committed, particularly that of nightclub owner Nicholas Damiano, who had previously taken Rachel into his home after Selene had attacked her. Selene proved to be no match for Rachel's newly increased powers, but just as she was about to finish Selene, Wolverine arrived and was forced to stab Rachel in the chest. Mortally injured, Rachel was lured into Spiral's body shop.
Right, so basically, Wolverine tried to kill her to prevent her from killing an evil mutant.
Okay.
Check.
Okay, but, no.
Got ya.
Hero code, you don't take a life, man.
Hero code.
It's not having an incident with the Phoenix. I'm sorry.
Hero code. It sounds like, you know she was about to murder somebody.
She didn't have an incident with the Phoenix.
I think it's kind of flawed.
What, don't kill people?
Is the hero code the same
because that's
as the
what
bro
makes
code?
The Punisher.
It's similar to the bro code.
Yeah,
the Punisher.
Yeah, because
not really
the girl code doesn't say anything about not killing people.
Girls are crazy.
Yeah.
Snatch a bitch's weave out.
that's my line. I forgot what I was going to say now.
I got a question for you. If you were writing this, who would you have the fragments hit?
There would be no fragments.
No?
No. Oh. No.
Everybody
that was
live.
The second that happened, the whole story became ridiculous, and it was irredeemable at that point in my eyes. So, we'll see how it turns out in the end.
I thought it was, like, kind of cool. I haven't read anything previous to that, but I actually thought it was, like, an interesting turn. I actually thought that they were going to try to destroy it. It was going to destroy Iron Man's machine or whatever, and then it's just going to keep coming for Hope, and they like would try to fight it off or whatever, and one by one fucking mutants and Avengers would get like picked off, you know, just trying to fucking take this thing out or whatever, I don't know. But I thought it was kind of interesting that they like, you fucking shot it, it shattered and hit like five other people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I thought that was stupid.
I particularly liked yours and Maui version where you called everybody a bitch.
I never called anyone a bitch. I read straight from the script. This man improvises a lot.
It's true.
Our version of this story was a little more vulgar than the original.
It was OC, for sure.
You could see the like
X-Men, the
OC. the hostility between Cyclops and Captain America to the like point of like they were like ex lovers or something. Like,
there's something there.
Was like,
they obviously have a history. It's like, how dare you
show your face on
come
my
back
beach,
here
bitch.
After what you did. I can't do the head wag thing, but you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't you do it.
Do you get that from the story, Nick?
Totally.
Do you get that ex-lovers?
Gay lovers. No lube.
Lovelorn kind of...
Come on, they're all
devil-making.
They're all in tights, you know, knee-high boots.
The girls are also in tights as well, so right. What does that mean?
It means, I don't know.
It's a superhero code.
It means the Cyclops is more like Biclops. If you know what I mean. We're gonna take a break. Next episode, we're gonna talk about the Marvel Universe as a whole, about the changes that are gonna come out of AVX with the Marvel Now thingy that they're doing. I don't know what they're calling it. Marvel Now, right? Yeah. Yeah. Marvel Now! Exclamation point. We'll be back soon.
Marvel not then, but now.
In the meantime, this is Nerd Scene Podcast. I'm Maui Jones.
Nick Dobrilla.
Liz Rosa.
Tim Jameson.
And we'll see you soon.